Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Hi, this is Star. Welcome to Stargazing. If you want me to answer an intuitive question for you after the half hour, call me at 646-716-9663. This evening, I have a good friend, a powerful teacher as our guest. Her name is Yael Benatar. She's from Tel Aviv, and she will be talking to us tonight about spirituality and many other topics. Are you there?
Yes. Good evening, Star.
Can you tell me why there is so much spirituality in Israel? And what happens on a day-to-day basis that when people connect in Israel to spirituality, they are connected so strong and so adamantly?
I think that one of the reasons why we have so much spirituality in Israel is because of the stress we have between different people living there, and different culture and understanding. And today, more and more, the young people, they really look for something different. So they are looking for an inner changes, for doing peace inside of them to be able to more communicate. So we see more and more young people changing themselves and coming to workshops and doing more healings and coming and doing some sessions to heal the lineage and to heal the relationship with the parents or with the neighbors.
And you have many students in Israel and in Europe. And you know many people here from the United States. What richness in spirituality do you experience over the year in Israel that we may not have a chance to experience here in the United States?
Yes, there is a big richness in everyday life, or every time that you, for example, before you eat something, you would clean your hand. You would first use the water in order to be prepared for the new food. And you can bless as well all the vegetables. You are blessing all the new fruits every time this is a new fruit or a new season or something new that you are having. You are giving a blessing to it before you can put it into yourself. There is a lot of respect for what you are getting in, for example. And the other thing we can observe and see is also along all the different holidays we have, like for Passover, which is called in Hebrew Pesach, we have like 7 days that we do not eat special food like bread and things that are going high when you cook them. And in this special holiday, we are celebrating, in fact, the time that we can get free. We can be free. We can get rid of being victimized. We can be rid of past patterns we have, or relationships that are not good anymore. So at this time we do usually a big cleansing, very big cleansing of the house, a very big cleansing of the body, also through the food, not eating special stuff. So you clean your body, you clean your house, you begin something new. Generally, this thing is a new beginning. When you really look into your life and you decide to do some cutting, it can be cutting some cords. This is what I do usually with all my students or people coming to sessions. Or we can decide to really look after what we would like to put behind. It could be the past, for example. It could be a decision we have made and we don't want anymore to go on with it. So this would be one example to give
you. So the Passover isn't about an event in history of the Jewish people. Passover is stepping over a boundary, stepping over into a new beginning. It is a cleansing, purification. It is very much a now time holiday, an event, versus what people outside the Jewish religion might see it as, a holiday celebrating an event thousands of years ago. So the way you live it is about clean energy in your relationships, cleaning your vibration, about showing gratitude. I mean, you know, here in the United States, yes, we say, bless this food. We, 20, 30 years ago, we had longer prayers, and now just blessing the food is fine. And for me understanding you also, that Passover is about forgiveness, correct?
Yes, it's also
about forgiving your debts, forgiving the people. Tell me, here in the United States, do we have a Forgiveness Day? No. So tell me more about how spiritual your everyday life is.
Okay, so this was really a big example because this is a big thing in Israel. But we also have every Saturday, we have what is called Shabbat. Okay?
Okay.
And on Shabbat, usually we don't do anything. It's like here on Sunday, it's a free day, and you are free to do anything you want. And the most important thing is to rest. It's like to make a big difference and to mark the end of the week. So you finish with action, and you have one day, and this day is like dedicated to God or to Source and to yourself. And only after that you can begin a new week. So you really need the time to integrate. You need time to be with everything that happened in this week. Okay, you cannot begin something new on this day. You just give thanks to all what happened and you rest. So
this really
is
one
a very
day of the week
day.
Is retrospective, introspective. It seems mm-hmm. like here in the United States we're busy, 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 busy all the time. And integration or meditation is something that we have to take that time to do it. And it seems like it's part of your tradition, part of your spirituality, to have a day where you don't get distracted. You don't get distracted by having to do or be things that, even if you wanted to get distracted, you have a commitment in your spiritual levels not to do anything this day, but be with yourself. So I think that is a pretty holy spiritual peace. Now, tell me.
Yes.
Tell me, you're in a country where any time a bomb could come near you. You're in a country which pray hard, play hard, but yet 5 minutes, life can change on you. How is it living with that expectation or that knowledge that at any minute your whole world could change?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, Star. This is a very big thing that we have, and I think that with time, you know, I'm not born in Israel. I came from France there, and at the first time it was very strange to me, the stress and anticipation for that. But then I really get the understanding of that, and I get how every people is really living with it. It's a kind of living. You just live. You just go out. You just go with your children outside. You just grab every little second or time you have to be with your family or to go and have fun with your friends. And you don't think about what is going to happen tomorrow. So people are really, really all the time outside, going to holidays, going to doing trips outside. That they are really, really looking all the time to enjoy, let's say to go to the sea or to go to have some travel. So the energy is not really focused all the time on the what could happen.
So do you think having this energy so close to you really pushes people to be in the now instead of thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or what happened yesterday? Do you think this edge of danger, people choose to live in the now more joyfully and more wholly?
Yes, I can see that through my children, for example. I can see that through the young people, the young generation. They really, let's say, when they finish the army, because they are going in the army, when they finish with it, they are all going to have trips and travels. They are going to visit countries. They are really like, they want to discover new things, new people, new culture. They really go outside for that. They work a lot, and then they go out, and then only after that they can come back and search for work or search for a family and to install themselves in Israel. But before, they will go for travel. They will go outside.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what are the spiritual seekers like in Israel? I know you well. You're a spiritual teacher, and you teach in Israel, and you're a master at what you do. I seem to know the teachers and the masters from Israel. I don't have a lot of contact with students. What is your spiritual student thinking? Are they more intense than the Americans? Is there a different flavor, let's say, when you go teach in France and the students in Israel or in other countries? What identifies the energy of Israeli students?
I think, in my opinion, they are very curious. They have a lot of interests. They are interested by many, many things. They will look forward for new teachers coming and teaching things. They will look to get more on what they know already, to get richer. The curiosity is part of everyday question from my students, for example. Every time I come back from a travel in France and I have new things to tell them and a new enrichment to give them, they are very, they really look forward for that. So there is a lot of curiosity and there is also a lot of commitment. They take things very seriously. There is something also serious in the way they will practice. If they see something is helping them, they will take this further or deeper in the way they behave with their family, with their relatives, with the people they meet. So this is what I can see.
Great. Now, how does it feel? I know you're here in the United States now, and I know that you teach in France. And how does it feel? What can you tell me? How does it feel to be a spiritual teacher in Israel? How does it feel differently in France and being in the United States? Does your connection to God become dimmer, richer, different colored when you're in different countries? Do you connect to Earth when you're differently when you're in different countries? Are you much the same, but do the energies change around you as a spiritual teacher?
I will answer like that. The way it can influence me would be if I am in a city or if I am in a countryside. When I am in a city, the energy sometimes can be very strongly interfering. For example, when I am in Paris with all the bad, how do you say that already? The
traffic population?
Yes, yes, exactly. So this is very difficult to breathe that in. So this is a different way for me to be able maybe to connect. But everywhere, the connection is just, you know, it is there. You connect to people, people open their heart, and you just connect. You just be. Being in the state is really great for me, and I'm thankful to be there because it's new people, it's new things to learn and discover and to bring. You bring your language, you bring your understandings, you bring new perceptions sometimes, and this is what I understand to bring with me is this. The place or the country would be maybe different because of the culture, of the different people. This is what I would say and answer.
Okay. And as a spiritual teacher, what do the people listening, what is the most important thing that they need to know about themselves, about God, or about what are the most important things you don't see the students learning out there and you don't see people participating in it? What is the most important thing that we need to know here?
What is the most important? The most important would be, I think, forgiveness. You were talking about that before. And I think this is really something to learn and to do in a daily basis, to work on that, to look at where you don't forgive yourself first. And this is the most difficult to forgive, actually. And you see that through the unforgiveness you have towards other people. And it begins usually with the most closest people to you. So, yeah.
The closest people to you. So do you think it's harder to forgive mom, dad, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, than it is to forgive stranger?
I think it's much more difficult, yeah.
So I believe that our soul chose to be born into a certain family, so that family, that bloodline, that lineage can teach us something. Both my parents were very powerful teachers, and both of them were alcoholics and abusive. And the most profound thing I got out of that was how not to be. And it took me a decade of hard work to forgive my father. And then after my father was forgiven, all of a sudden I discovered that I had to forgive my mother. And when you go about forgiveness of your family, you notice that whatever big thing you're holding against them, that you have that same energy inside of yourself. It might be smaller. You might be in denial about it. And not necessarily that I would be abusive or an alcoholic to anyone else, but that tendency to have an addiction in my lineage. My addiction was being numb for many years till I went away to be with my first teacher. And forgiveness is probably the thing that raises the soul vibration the most. And you know what just always hangs heavy over my head is when my teachers told me that everyone who I cut off in a relationship, didn't talk to in a relationship this lifetime, everyone that I went away angry from, a lover, a parent, didn't speak to them again, for next life, they would be born very close to me, be my parent, my husband, my wife, my children, till I resolve the energy between us. So when we talk about forgiveness, I think, oh, my God, do I really want to go through another lifetime, another 20, 10, 5 decades with this person next lifetime, or do I want to bring this energy to forgive? Your country has a ritual where you bless, you show gratitude, deep gratitude on a daily basis. And whether you're religious or spiritual, and most of the people I know from your country are pretty spiritual. And you forgive. You show gratitude in the spring when there's new vegetables, in the summer when there's new vegetables, when there's a dawn. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm living in a country with a bunch of people who take things for granted, take the food for granted, you know. How can I be a better teacher? How can I teach my people to show more gratitude, to give more forgiveness, especially to the people with their blood, their family? How can I be a better teacher with this?
I don't know how you could do that, but I can tell you, one way that we do it in Israel, okay? There is this one day that is Yom Kippur, and on this day you are working very, very deeply into yourself, and you don't eat. It is not you don't eat because you want to punish yourself. You don't eat because you want to stay and to leave your body clean and to be able to be the most connected and the most humble in front of the light, and to be more connected in order to give away all your anger, all your all what you have inside of you and that you are holding onto someone else, or grudge, or a very, very difficult thought you have. So when you are like not eating and drinking, you stay in this stage of kind of meditation, deep meditation, where you go deep inside of yourself and you just clean. You clean all these thoughts and you clean everything in order to be able to forgive yourself and to forgive to others. And on this special day, because there are thousands and thousands of people around the world that are doing the same thing on the same day, this is a very strong energy. And there is a certain point close to the end of this day that it says that the sky is opening, or the heaven is opening and taking everything out from you. So you have to give something from yourself in order to be like elevated, or to be to feel really lighter. Not
I
only with your body,
that.
Yes.
We call that fasting, and we don't have a national fast day. We don't have everybody who's spiritual fast New Year's Eve or fast July 4th. We don't have a day where we all do that. And I understand some things. I understand that when people are in process, they go eat a bag of potato chips or a bag of Oreo cookies. I understand that when people lose weight, one of the reasons they don't lose weight is the minute they start losing weight, all the emotions held by the weight come to the surface. So their response is, I'm emotional, I don't want to feel it, I've got to eat. I think some of the lessons that the Americans and the spiritual people here could do is take our consciousness and multiply it and have a forgiveness day and have a day of fasting where we all come together and fast, and the mass of us fasting is so much greater than one person fasting. Here in America, giving things up, not doing something, is pretty difficult. Replacing. So I'm not going to smoke cigarettes, so I'm going to drink coffee. So I'm not going to drink coffee, so I'm going to chew gum. And I'm not going to chew gum, I'm going to do Altoids. Replacement seems to be a way that we change our energies. And just listening to you and feeling your presence as a spiritual teacher, what you do so commonly in your country, your day of forgiveness, your depth of gratitude on a daily basis, and a day where we fast together would be something that would strengthen and purify the spirituality here in North America. We do things here. We do get on the internet, and we have 50,000 people meditating at a certain time for so many minutes. We've had whole days that we've had different events where, you know, people have agreed on it. But to get this into our consciousness, you know, we have Thanksgiving. It's a day of gratitude. But certainly a day of forgiveness here in the United States, certainly a day of fasting, wherever as many spiritual people as possible would do it, would be very, very potent and very empowering to our spiritual community. Are there any other rituals, teachings, that is a common way of life there in Israel that would benefit the North American people here and people all over the world by participating in? Is there any other thing that really works for you that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, yes. There is something I like to do, you know, is to organize a day in my place, and students are coming or clients are coming, and then we are together, we are deciding about a subject that we want to pray for, and we do like a prayer together. We sit around, we have also some food, and we discuss about what is the subject we would like the most to pray for. It can be for the respect of the animals. It can be for dolphins all over the world, in Denmark and Japan, for example. It could be for co-creation of mothers and humans. It could be for communication between different people in Israel. So we decide and we check what is the subject we want to pray for. And we just sit there and everybody is giving one of his prayer. You know, he's talking this out and saying this in words. And after that, we just sit together and we do a kind of meditation, or we can be thankful for something. So this is one of the things I really like to do and to offer.
That sounds wonderful, to come together and then decide the topic and then decide what to pray for. In a minute, we're coming up on our commercial break, and I'd like to remind you people that after the half hour break, I will be taking questions. And if you have a question for Yael Benatar, our phone number is 646-716-9663. It'd be wonderful to hear from you, for us to get to participate in pointing a direction to you, giving you a map, but not taking your trip for you. Once again, that number is 646-716-9663. And then I love the people who are just on the borderline of asking that question or not. So take a deep breath.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
While we're back, so take a deep breath, and if there's anything that is scratching, itching your intuition, if there's anything you're curious about, if you'd like some confirmation on a choice that you've already made, a decision that you've already had, give us a call. Give us a call. So I'd like for you to tell me, Yael, what lights up your life? What really brings you into harmony? What energies are that make your soul smile?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's to awake every morning. It's one of the things that is in the prayers of the morning, is to thank your soul for coming back to you. And this is not taken for granted. And every time that I wake up, this is like a joyful moment. So this is part of it. The other thing is to have goals, to look forward to accomplish, and to find the ways to do that. This is also very much grounding, and it's coming from passion and from desire to move forward and to do something different. So I really look into my goals, I really change them, I really try to put something different in them, to look for different goals in the physical, goals in the emotional, goals that would be in the mental, and goals that would be in the spiritual. So like that, I really can all the time be like in motion and not to get stuck into something.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Just pop in when the phone call is light up, okay? I think for me, waking up every morning is a question of how can I be of service. And many times when I answer the phone, I surprise myself when I say, hey, this is Star, how can I be of service? I'm like, oh, God, that sounds so corny. But it's really coming from my heart. And knowing that I'm a spiritual teacher and a spiritual healer, that sometimes when the phone rings in the middle of the night, I get up and answer it. Not all the times. But I know and feel when I am needed. And it's without question for me doing what Spirit tells me to do. And it's really interesting. People tell me things, well, Spirit told me that I didn't have to do that, or Spirit told me that that's not what I'm supposed to do. Or they make an agreement and say, well, Spirit told me I didn't have to keep the agreement. And all my years of listening to Spirit, Spirit has never said no to me. Spirit has been silent. My spirit guides have been silent to me when I am going in the inappropriate direction. Spirits have not yelled or have not told me not to keep my agreements. Spirits have encouraged me, cheered me on. But for me, my spirit guides do not say no. They just don't say anything at all. I think the one time spirit yelled at me is when I had two bags of groceries and was walking out between two parked cars, and spirit yelled at me, and I turned around to see who yelled at me, and some crazy kids driving crazy would have run me over if I were taking one more step. So I think being of service for me is one of the things that lights up my life. I like when I teach in a classroom, when I'm talking and talking, which I do a lot of, and then all of a sudden I see this light go on in people's eyes where they put the facts together. They got an aha, or this, like, a light of what this means or how this is connected to their life or connected to God comes on. And they get this light, and it's there about half a second. And if I'm not paying attention, I miss it. And to me, having that light come on in somebody's eyes is one of the most powerful things and things I look forward and live for to see. You get that also with your students, don't you?
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, this is really great moments when you see the comprehension and the smile and like the sudden understanding, yes, through the people. And this is something that happens almost at each workshop or in a one-to-one session when you glimpse to that. You have a glimpse to that and you see that the person got something, understood something very deeply into herself, himself. And this moment is something difficult to describe, but you did it very good, Star.
Well, thank you. There's a lot of things that happened for me as a teacher. And being a spiritual teacher, I go out and teach my stuff and God stuff and all that. And sometimes my students forget that I'm human, you know. And I think it's really important not to put your teacher on a pedestal, because I am sure that we will fall off it. You will discover that we have a human fault, that we're not perfect. And your teachers are humans. And when they're in their teaching mode and they are connected to God and connected to Earth and you see the light coming out of them and you feel their very presence, these are the moments you were there for as a student. You're not the moment where I'm sitting and eating lunch and lunch falls on my shirt, or I become human and have my faults. So please, students, don't put your teacher on a pedestal. Understand that your teacher is a vessel of light that shares light with you. And when those moments happen, when they're human, when they sleep, burp, go to the bathroom, when they make mistakes, when they have lessons of their own, that if you put them on a pedestal, if you thought that your teacher could do your work for you, or if your teacher told you that she could do or he could do your work for you, you have a big piece coming to you. So pay attention to your teachers when they're teaching, whether it be in Tel Aviv, in Paris, here in the United States. And just notice, once they're not teaching, how their spirit and a body coming here for lessons, just like you. And your relationship with your teacher will improve as long as you don't put your teacher on a pedestal. Make sure you don't think your teacher is going to do your work, get your money, clean your house for you. And I'm not talking about dusting and doing the floors. I'm talking about your inner work, you being at one mint with yourself. And coming to that word, I know that there is a new workshop that you're giving in Europe and Israel in the latter part of this year, and it's called At One Mint. Recently reading some books about ancient Aramaic, I found out that the word atonement was really at one-ment with yourself. And you're teaching a work called At One-ment, aren't you, Yael? Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Oh, yes. Thank you for asking about that. Yes, this is a totally new workshop where it's a 2 days, 2.5 day workshop where you can really go deep into yourself and discover much more of your light. And in order to do so, first we have to clean and to get out and to take things out of yourself. So the first step would be to look into your self-esteem in order to be able to express it differently. And then you would go and be able to cut the vows, to get rid of them, to cut the cords you have that really take you behind and don't afford you to be able to move on and to do new steps and to be really, really into your power. Then the thing that is being taught in this workshop is to get rid of patterns and really to bring them light in understanding them, to put all the light that was behind that and to change the patterns, and then to go into the dark part of ourselves, which is really sometimes we don't want to look at and we are in denial, which is called our shadows, that we have difficulty to look at. And in this workshop, it would be an opportunity to really have a deep look at it and to be able to change also the way to show that we have to show our shadows, and now to be able on the other side to show the bright light of ourselves or our capacities and abilities. Another piece of the workshop is to go through timeline and to get rid of the past and to get rid of our expectation of the future. The other thing will be also to work on lineage issues with a mother, with a father, with close relatives, and to do some orders there and to be able to see what we still have to work on, which is very important. So all those things together are really powerful tools in order to go inner, very, very, very deep into ourselves and to do a big cleansing.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work to do in 2.5 days. And one of the things that I have found with my students, my teachers who come from Israel to learn with me, because as it ends up, I'm usually a teacher of teachers, the Israelis do not have any fear of intensity. You know, if we're in an intense process or we're in intense energy, and you embrace it. And I have such a respect for people who can, in souls, who can take these intensive workshops, dig in deep, and make space for new light. And the processes, the emotions, the patterns that we have, the belief systems, what our parents taught us, our shadow self, our denial self, to dig in deep and do this work. And, you know, I have seen people go to therapists for 4 or 5 years, and sometimes they take an intensive weekend, and that weekend has so opened them up, has given them such clarity of what they have worked on, what they haven't worked on, what they look like to other people, and what they think they look like or appear to be, that it is just amazing to me how these intensive weekends can jet speed you along your spiritual path. I love it. I love that some most of the Americans can take intensity, but we take it in smaller doses or need more integration time. I just stand in amazement as the Israelis can take these intense energies and emotions and deal with them so quickly. So I am looking forward to seeing the final rendition of your workshop and listening to what your participants have to say and looking at their light to see how much they've changed. Here in America, we have a lot of gifts. We have teachers who are like sponges, and they absorb everything, and students can come to them and take whatever they want at the time. We have many hundreds of lineages, from Native American to Chinese lineages and a representative here. And a lineage is a teaching that is passed on from several teachers down from one teacher to another, and many lineages have come to the United States, and it is a melting pot of lineages, and we have the opportunity to learn so much. And I find that in the last 20 years or so that the people, the spiritual people from Israel have been just reaching out and absorbing the lineages all over the world intensely. Do you find that there is a lot of connection to Native American and other lineages there in Israel?
It seems that all the culture of the Native American has come in Israel, actually. We have all the vision quest, and we also have
So we have Sweat Lodge.
We have so many Sweat Lodge, and we have people that came in the States, and they get studied at that, and they are doing it in Israel so much. So all the Native American lineage and wisdom is already in Israel, and people love it. People love it, and they are looking forward to it, and we do a lot of ceremonies with the moon, and we do a lot of ceremonies to celebrate new the winter or the summer. This is coming to us as well, yes. We do have that.
Well, that sounds like a very well-rounded approach to metaphysics and spirituality. We in the United States have that also, but I think our levels of intensity due to the levels of intensity in our lives are a little bit different. I mean, if it was September 11th, you know, once a month around here, I'm sure that that pressure would be like the earth pressing on a coal and making it into a diamond. And it's not, I'm not saying to you, people go move to Israel and study spirituality. I'm saying for you to look out and look at these spiritual teachers from Israel. And it's not about them teaching you their religion, although there are pieces of the Jewish religion that is very, very helpful to you. It's about the waking up and the birthing and maturating of spirituality in that country. And think about it. Think about
Hey, Star.
Yep.
I have a caller when you're ready.
We're ready right now.
Okay. And also, when you have a chance, I'd like to know where I can find out more about the classes that your friend has to offer.
Okay. We will give you her website after we answer this call.
Hey, Ken, you're on with Star.
Hi, Star.
Hello. How can I be of service?
Well, you've been of great service to me, giving me some great guidance in dealing with some pain in my chest, and I want to let you know the pain is gone, and so I've been able to open my heart more. And so seeing you on this call and the invitation, seeing you on this blog talk radio show and the invitation to call in, I really wanted to take the time to call in and connect with you and say thank you, and to see what might come out of the next moment after I say thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I know you have worked for years on this beyond belief.
Yes.
And I know that you have cleared lifetimes and you have done major work on your lineage or your DNA and your bloodlines. I have a question for you, sweetie. What's next? Now that all your light and all your energy isn't going into your own personal healing, what's next?
Oh, boy, you know, that's such a perfect question. And the answer is I know, but I don't have words for it yet. It's in a place.
And this is the question that you need to ask yourself: to what next becomes what now, and what now becomes a path for you.
Becomes a what? I'm sorry.
What next? And the next question is, what now? N-O-W.
Right.
Right. So you're still integrating. Once you heal what you, the pain you've had in your chest for 20 years, it's a relief. You get to walk around, swim, talk, walk without the pain. You'll have a period of appreciation. You'll have a period before spirit gently or kick your butt.
Right.
Into doing the next thing. So you're not expected to know right away when your healing is up what is next. You ask yourself that question. You look for signs. You look for names of books. You look for nature signs. You keep paying attention. And then you'll get some things. And some things you'll do that and you'll go, nah. And then you'll start asking, what now? And one of those nows will be your path, will be where you're going to put the intensity of light, the intensity of healing, the depth of your soul, like you did into healing your chest pain for 20 years.
Yes.
And know that it's not going to come like lightning and hit you out of the sky. You're going to get time to appreciate not having that pain in your chest, to do things in life without that, and then you're going to have a moment, a space and time, where your eyes are going to open and you're going to be aware where all that light, where all that intensity, where all that healing is going to be directed. You know, sometimes I feel so much more ready to do something than God feels I'm ready to do it. And most of my life, God feels like I'm ready to do things before I feel like I'm ready to do things. Oh, one more book, one more seminar. Maybe I could read a little bit more. Maybe I could experience this more. And sometimes God feels I'm ready to do stuff before I feel I am. So you'll have that now. And that now will be where you direct your light and your healing. Please ask yourself every day, what's next? To what next becomes what now? Thank you, sweetie.
That's perfect, Star. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. So, can you tell us what your website is?
Yes. My website is in French, actually, and it's www.yaelbenatar.com.
So that is your name?
Yes, exactly. YaelBenatar.com.
Okay.
And I'm working on an English website. Yeah.
So you also have a website in French and in Hebrew, correct?
I have one also in Hebrew. I don't know if somebody is interested in Hebrew, but I can give it.
Well, you never know. You never know who's listening all over the world.
So it's www.yaelb.net. YaelB.net. This one is in Hebrew.
Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yes, it does. Right. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
So we have a few more minutes here, and if we have time for one last call, 646-716-9663, or we have a moment to know Yael better. What do you like about the United States?
What do I like? Actually, this is my second time here. So what I like here first is the space. There is a lot of space. Everything's like big, and there is no sensation of being stressed or something. You have all this sky opening, you have all these trees all over, this is green, and this is really open. I really like that. And there are different people in the streets, like all the time I like to look at the different people, and this I have here to be able to have discussions, and the welcoming of everyone here is very, very great. The way you are accepted, the way you are, and straight away you have a place to be, and people are really, really have nice manners, and they talk to you with gently, and they are interesting and curious to meet you. This is very nice. This I like very much here.
Well, I'm glad that you are experiencing the spiritual side of America, and that everyone has made you so welcome. People, listen. It is so easy to be courteous to strangers. It is so easy to have a nice word for a stranger. Look inside of yourself. How kindly do you treat yourself? Are you rude to your higher self? Do you numb yourself? Do you become distracted by music and TV and everything else so you do not have time to think? How many broken agreements do you have with yourself daily? Does your higher self no longer listen to you because you've made so many agreements and never renegotiate them and have not kept them? Please remember that every thought is a prayer. You don't have to get down on your hands and knees. You don't have to be on your meditation pillow. You don't have to be in front of your altar. Every thought is a prayer. And some of your prayers are, I'll do the dishes tonight. And you promise your higher self this. And then NSI, CSSI, ISSI comes on and you watch the show. And you don't bother to renegotiate that agreement. Simple enough is I'll wake up 10 minutes early in the morning and put the dishes in the dishwasher or wash the dishes. You blow yourself off. Then you wonder why people start making agreements with you and they can't keep their agreements with you. Remember, God treats you like you treat other people, and other people treat you like you treat yourself. Let me repeat that. God treats you the manner and way you treat other people, and other people treat you how you treat yourself. Now, you could treat yourself all the time. You can have manicures and pedicures and massages and facials, but you do not give yourself the time of day when it comes to keeping your agreements, or the time of day to educate yourself. Everything's all about pampering. And then you walk up to somebody and you're asking somebody to perform a service, to give you education, to communicate with you. They will choose to go get a pedicure, go get a manicure, to go pamper themselves. Okay. Are you there? All right. So it's really important for you to treat your higher self well, because that's how strangers will treat you. That's how your best friends will treat you. And the 50 years I've done metaphysics, I've come across people all the time who have abandonment issues. And what happens is they say, why me, why me, why me? And I'm going to tell you this. It's always the same answer. At some point in time, they have abandoned themselves. They have given up hope. They have given up trusting themselves. And the healing for an abandonment issue is to have the person not abandon themselves and start paying attention to their intuition and start paying attention to their emotional, mental needs. Usually physical needs are mostly met by people with abandonment issues.
Thank you, Star.
You're welcome.